Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
We are moving through a really powerful series here at Gateway at the moment, if you've been around the last few weeks. The series called Making Change. Who has been impacted already by this? And how good is it having our senior pastor share with us every week the last few weeks? But making change, how we can make changes in our life, particularly in the area of finance, to really align ourselves with God's will. And I don't know about you, I'm really excited to hear what Rick has to share this morning. He doesn't have a sequiny tutu on this morning, but I think he still deserves a round of applause. Let's welcome Rick as he gets up.
Thank you, Beth. Good morning. I'm so glad about a few things this morning. One of them is that I don't have to stand on stage with Superman. You see the Superman t-shirt there? It's kind of like, I just don't match up. And how good is it to have, the youth and the vitality of children and families in our midst? It's just terrific to have that. So thank you, Beth. That was very nicely done. Very nicely done. Well done. Well, as Beth said, we are in a series, Making Change, and this is our third week. And we're looking at aligning our lives with God, especially in the areas of money and finance, because as surveys show, that's the one thing, apparently, that Australians worry and think about the most. And interestingly, it's one of the things that God speaks into in His Word the most as well. And so we're looking at what changes we can make so that we can live God's way. I have been inundated with response cards, texts and emails, particularly in this last week. I think, it's terrific. You have been very encouraging, and you've also, been able to reveal some things that God is doing in your life. Now, I was so impressed with just these four, I thought I'd share them with you. No names, no pack drill. But it says, thank you for your messages last week and this week. They've been so timely and relevant to us, and we so appreciate and value them. This other one says, thank you for the series. I have been praying on this for a long while. So this is an answer to prayer for me. Thank you for the three-step prayer as well. Remember that? Three things we could pray last week. This one's a little bit longer. It says, last week's sermon resonated with me so much. Both the phrases, less is more, and one free hand to help others up, were constantly on my mind the week leading up to last week. I think I was supposed to be here to hear it. I have found myself this week really making positive changes in how I think about finance and the world, and I look forward to the rest of the series. That's pretty cool. And then this is the one that touched my heart perhaps the most. It was, thanks for the great message this morning. I will be doing the 10-10-80 rule with my children. Remember we talked about having a bit of an idea of how to, give, save and spend, the 80-10-10 rule. I shared with you that we used to do that as a family, and here's a family that's picking up on that and just taking the principle to the next level. So I really love it, when God's word finds itself in application and in, effectiveness in people's lives. So would you just bow your heads and pray with me as we make a beginning? Lord, today, may your name be glorified in everything we do, and your word be clarified in everything I speak, so our walk together with you is intensified for the sake of the world. And all God's people said, amen. Our key verse for this series has been, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Do you remember the M&Ms that we had here the first 2 weeks? Someone stole my M&Ms. I had a little bucket of them, and they were removed from here. So I am unable, but if you can imagine with me a wonderful little bucket of M&Ms. And, we dove both our fists into them, and we hung on to two handfuls, and some were dropping. And we realized in that moment that if we try and grab everything we can on every occasion, that's all we're going to be able to do. And we're going to be so focused on hanging on to what we've got, we won't have time or focus to do anything else. And even then, we're going to drop some. But then we said, well, what about if we just had one handful? Just one handful. Even with some dropping then, it's more than we can hang on to. If we have one handful, then we've got one hand free to thank God for what we have and to worship Him. If we have only one handful, we have that hand where we can reach down to someone and say, let me help you up. And if we have one handful, we can look at that and go, you know what? I can transfer some of that to this hand and I can make a difference in the world. It's a big difference between two handfuls and all the stress and the self-interest and worry that comes with that, and having one handful, which is often more than enough because some just drops, we can't hang on to all the M&Ms, and being able to be more effective. So let's review the four topics. And again, we look at the four symbols on the back wall here. Let's see if you can remember what they are. What's this one? Less is more. We talked about simplifying our life and not just going through life trying to gain everything and more and more and more. What's the second one? Stress is bad. Yeah, who agrees stress is bad? Number one stress in Australia, according to the Australian Psychological Institute, is financial stress. It's the number one thing that breaks up families in this country. So stress is bad, and we looked at how we can counter that. Today we're going to look at this one, which is? Giving is good. Giving, tell yourself that. Look at the person next to you and say, that's true, giving is good. That wasn't very convincing. That's all right. That's okay. You haven't heard the message yet. So giving is good. And then next week, I am super excited about this because this is tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters. As a man who spends his life in and around the things of faith, I really love it when we start, you know, thinking about where God is heading us and what it is about our own personal worlds as well that He's pouring into, that He wants us to pour out. So next week, tomorrow matters. We could have a special guest appearance, but we'll leave that for next week. So less is more is about managing your material life. Stress is bad is about managing your emotional life. Giving is good. Today we're going to look at your financial life, and next week we're going to look at God's expectations in you and through you for the future. But I remind you again, as I have each week, this is not a do-it-yourself program. This is not a help yourself up, you know, by the bootstraps kind of thing and just try harder and do more. The whole thing about making change and the whole secret sauce inside of it is that we don't have to do it on our own. Is that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us. If we follow Jesus, if we've submitted our life to Him, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is resident in us. And that power is there to help us to align our lives with God. Now, we can get in the way, but we don't have to do it all on our own. Making change is about doing what God recommends, but by His power. Although, yes, we do have to add our will to it. Now, one further thing this morning. If you're a guest today, if this is your first time or second time in church, you may not be aware that in this church we don't expect guests to give to the offering. And pretty much every week we say, if you're a guest here, please don't feel obliged to give. Now, I don't know any church that's ever said, who's new here today? Right, you're giving the most. But there is a feeling inside the church when a bucket is passed by each week that, oh, I'm expected to give something. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a guest here today, you're not decided yet about Jesus, we don't expect you to give. In fact, we'd love it if you just let that bucket pass to someone else so that you can be assured in your heart about what God, who God is and what He's doing before you decide to align your finances with Him. And so this series is about aligning our finances with God. It's about aligning all of our lives with God. But finance is actually one of the big issues in people's lives. It runs in the background sometimes as the script that drives a lot of other things in life. And, you know, I love it that the scriptures, that the Bible says so much, so many things helpfully about how we can use our finances and what God's expectations of us are inside of our resources. I love that. So we're not ignoring that, but I want to say to you, if you're a guest, I want you to hear what's said and experience what happens. Think it through for yourself, but we don't expect you to give. But in this church, we understand that how we use our money matters to God. And how we use our money impacts our life outside of what God would want for us. And so we're taking a few weeks just to think about the principles in life that would help us align with that. In Acts 20, the Apostle Luke wrote this about the early church. It says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus who said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" Today we're going to look at the topic, giving is good. Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Most Christians I know would say, yeah, it's also really good to receive though, isn't it? I mean, seriously, how many of you flocked around me last week for my M&Ms? I know you're out there. It is good to receive. It is really, really good to receive. Who understands if they have a love language of gifts? Like, they like getting gifts. It blesses you when people give you things. And the rest of you are lying, so that's good. If we're honest, we're better at receiving than giving. If we're really honest, most of us are better at receiving than giving. We like it. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel loved. It makes us feel special. However, whilst that's partly true in my life as well, I think, you know, the stories that really touch my heart, the stories that have made a difference in my life, are not the ones about, oh yeah, last Christmas I got given this. But they're the stories of love and sacrifice that other people make in life that are inspiring. They're the ones that really touch my heart and move me the most. Years ago, many, many years ago, I became aware of a story of a couple in our church who were in the process of adopting overseas. And so I, you know, talked to their family about what's happening there, and then their family told me this story about them. They had been planning for 10 years to adopt overseas, having not had any luck with having children of their own. And if anybody has gone through that process, it is quite arduous. You know, whilst there are billions of kids probably, or at least millions of kids who could do with a better home, it's not that easy. And it's expensive. It's super, super expensive. This couple were an ordinary couple. And they apparently, their family told me, had got to the end of their resources. They had expended pretty much everything they had. They'd even mortgaged their house so that they could get into this adoption process. But then it came a time for the accounting and they were $10,000 short. It's a fair bit of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money when you don't have any money. So the family apparently went about fundraising and they thought, you know, we could do a sausage sizzle or maybe a garage sale. Or they came up with all these ideas to help raise money to try and bridge the gap. While they were doing that, an anonymous donor stepped up and gave the whole $10,000 to them. Now, $10,000 was a lot of money then. It was a lot of money to the couple because they had nothing. And it's still a fair bit of money now. I wager that most of you, maybe all of you, don't have a lazy $10,000 sitting around. You certainly probably didn't bring $10,000 in notes to church this morning. If anybody did, I'll see you later. here's the kicker. They received an anonymous note which said something like this: "As much as we know you'll be blessed by this money, we already feel that the opportunity to respond to God's prompting in us to give this to you has already blessed us more." Yeah, cool. Isn't that cool? An anonymous giver. I've heard many, many stories over the years around Gateway of extraordinary grace and generosity. One couple sold a house and gave the whole proceeds to the church. Yeah, amazing. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Another man came and gave the whole profit from his company to us in order that you could be sitting here today. That is really cool. Very humbling. Very humbling that God would work in someone's life like that, that he would resource them to that extent. But then they would get that it's not about them and about what they could do. And there are dozens and dozens of other stories, maybe hundreds of other stories I could share with you about ordinary, faithful people who every week give regularly to this church and generously so that the work of God can happen. And that's equally amazing in my sight than the big one-off gift. The principle is, it's a blessing to receive. We all like to receive. But when we give, there are three blessings that happen. Three blessings. Number one, the scripture tells us that we will be blessed. Number two, the recipient is blessed, the person that the gift goes to, either directly or indirectly through this church. And the third thing is God is blessed. God is pleased when we give. When we receive, it's a bit of a cul-de-sac. It comes to us, stop. But when we give, there's a triple blessing that happens, and that's the way God wants us to live our life. It says in another part of the New Testament, this is on your outline, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. An incredible verse. Look at the everys there, in every way. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. There are no spiritual blessings that God withholds from you if you are in relationship with his Son. And we are blessed so that on every occasion we can show generosity of spirit to other people. And when we do that, not only is God pleased, but people go, wow, they must really believe in God. Like that person that gave the $10,000, you think, they get it. Because that's not something you do every day of the week. You know. They get it. So, here's the thing. If giving is good, because Jesus said it was good, and it blesses everybody, and it results in thanks to God, why do we struggle to be generous? True confessions. Why do I struggle to be generous in my life? Why do I struggle to have an expansive view of the needs of other people and how I can contribute? Why is that? When I can read the Bible like you and see all of this. Well, there are three things, and they're on your outline. Let's just quickly mention them, because I think a lot of people would be in this place. And this is what I have felt over the years. Number one, we don't feel we have enough to be generous. That's the first reason. Number two, we're not sure if our giving actually goes to those in need. You know, when you give to a charity or something, you know, yeah, but I've heard kind of like, you know, they've got like 70% admin costs and, you know. And the third thing is we live with a scarcity mindset. Most people I come across who have not been touched by the generous blessing of the Spirit of God in their life often live with a scarcity mindset. And sadly, some people who have been touched by the blessing and generosity of God still live there. So the first one is, we don't feel we have enough to be generous. Our culture tells us that only rich people give generously. Is that true? You know, when we see Twiggy Forrest or the Pratt family do something extraordinary with giving, let's go, oh, well, that's fair enough, they're rich. And then we go, well, that's not me. I'm not rich. And yet, I've said many times in this place that everyone in this building, in fact, everybody in this country, regardless of the poverty status that they're here in this country, are in the top 5% of the wealth of the world. Everyone. And that's hard for us to believe. If you never travel overseas, if you've never been to the third world, if you've never actually got out of the hotel in the third world and mixed it with local people and seen how they live, and then looked at the poorest person in Australia and all the welfare and all the benefits and all the support and all the help that they get, it doesn't compare. We are a wealthy country. The problem is, we just don't feel rich. And that's a whole other preaching series. The second one, we're not sure if we actually, all the money goes to those in need. And, you know, we hear about the scandals every week about, you know, money that was donated with the shaking tins and stuff and it finished up in someone else's bank account, or, you know, there was a contractor brought in to actually collect the money and to get the people to collect the money, because by the time all the people were paid, there wasn't much left over for the actual charity itself. We hear about the scandals. But I contend, if I look at how I've responded to that over the years, I just haven't done my homework. I just haven't done the work to find the charities that do the good stuff. And I can tell you, as a chairman of an NGO or three, there are a lot of them around that are doing good stuff. And so I can't just go, oh, you know, where does the money go? And as if that's a general exemption to my generosity. For me, I have to do harder work than that and find the charities that do the bit, that do the best for people and where the money goes. And the third thing is the whole scarcity mindset, which I've talked about before. Many of us live our life with a we can't afford it script running in our heads. And I've shared with you before that I tried really hard as a parent not to say that to my children as we were growing up. Because I'm rich man. I am a rich man in this country. I'm a rich man in the world. And so it's not so much about I can't afford it. I tried to change, you know, the language to we choose not to spend our money on that so that we can do this. We can support Pastor Kiap in Papua New Guinea or whatever else that we chose to do at the time. Because when we say we can't afford it, which is the script I grew up with in my family, we're really not being honest about understanding who we are and the place we have in the world. But they're the three things I think. Maybe there are more. Maybe you can think of more. Last week we prayed, God, give me understanding. Remember that? In my experience, most people don't really understand how God's economy works. And when you follow Jesus, you step into his world. Not only does he dwell in you by his spirit, but you step into a whole different paradigm of how the world works and how God sees the world and wants you to see the world. You know, in God's economy, things are kind of a little bit upside down to what we may have grown up with. Now, I did a degree in economics, and I can tell you pretty much every principle that I learned in that degree of economics is counter to the kingdom of God. Pretty much every principle, even though, yeah, that's practical stuff and I understand trade and balance of payments, all that sort of stuff, the principles behind it were not godly principles. They were principles of either Marxists or socialists or sometimes liberal Democrats who had a great idea about how the world should work. They weren't really thinking about what God was thinking. In the scriptures in Proverbs, it says this, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed." See, I grew up with the idea that you only have so much money. You can see it in your paycheck every week. It's obvious, isn't it? And so when you give money, money goes away from you. That means that you have less. But wait, less is more. How does that work? See, that's a godly principle. So we think we have this much, we give it away, we have less. But God says less is more. How is that? Well, here's how it works. God says when you give to the things that concern the heart of God, that he awakens in your heart that you need to be sharing your resources with, like this church or like a particular charity, could be the Children's Fund or something else, or you are supporting people in poverty somewhere or some mission program. When you're doing that, you're taking the resources that God has given you to share widely and you are investing your interest in that thing. That thing, you may not even be aware of it, but that thing becomes part of your life. All of a sudden, you're really interested in how much money of this goes overseas. All of a sudden, you're really interested in, well, how do they use the money? What is the work that they actually do over there? You see, because the things that you don't give to, you probably don't give a second thought about, really, because you've got no skin in the game. You might read something in the newspaper occasionally, but generally speaking, most of us don't go through life with a range of charities and things in our head assessing which one's best and how they're going. And is their work effective over there? How many children are actually being saved from starvation? Come on, am I right? Of course I'm right. But where you put your money, all of a sudden you get really interested in it. And so, here's the thing. When we think that our life is about receiving and hanging on to all those M&Ms, We make a pretty small world when all is said and done. But when we give, when we share, as we're all taught as little children, when we share, we are actually enlarging the influence of our world. Our world is enlarging because we are filling up with the concerns of God, and we're seeing our life having a greater impact than just our sorry little selves. That's less is more. That's how that works. Most people don't get that. They think that when you give, well, money goes away and you don't have that dollar anymore. Goodbye, dollar. See you later. But God says, when you use that money wisely, you become invested in it and your world grows larger. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. God does not lie. So, if giving is good, how do we get better at it? If it really is true that giving is good, and that's what God is telling us, although some of you look mightily unconvinced. If giving is good, how do we get better at it? Here's three things. Number one, trust God. If you want to get better at giving, if you want your world to make a greater difference, if you want to be part of the world of the generous, which grows and grows, rather than being the stingy, you know, chasing the buck kind of where's the bargains kind of person and living totally in that place, we need to trust God. You know, faith is essentially a test of our willingness and ability to trust him. Jesus said to Satan in the desert, "Do not put your Lord God to the test." Those of you who are familiar with the New Testament and the Gospels would know that story, that before his ministry, Jesus went into the desert and was tempted for 40 days by Satan. And for the record, Jesus won the battle. Jesus said to Satan, who was trying to tempt him, "Do not put the Lord God to the test." But there is one thing in the scripture where the Bible says, test God. Now, some of you who've been around a while would know where this is. So some of you are going, "Well, really? Where is that?" And it's in a book in the Old Testament from a prophet called Malachi, or as we say here, Malachi. He was the first Italian prophet. It says this, and it's on your outline: "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house," which is the church. "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty." You can put a circle around that if you want to. "And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." See, Jesus says, we should not go around testing God. "Prove yourself to me, God. Prove yourself to me, God." But there is one place where the scripture says it's okay to test the Lord. And then it is specifically in the area of honoring God with what we have. It talks about a tithe. That's an old-fashioned word. What does that mean? Well, originally it meant 10% of the crops or the produce of the Jewish people. So whatever they had, before they took it to market and all that sort of stuff, they brought 10% of that, grain and all sorts of things, into the storehouse, into the temple, as a love offering to God, as a blessing to God. Now, today, we don't have a lot of crops. I mean, some of you grow veggies, but I guarantee you don't have an acre of wheat there in your backyard. So the way it translates into a modern economy is it's 10% of what we earn. It's 10% of what we earn. So if you earn $100, it's, what's a tithe? How much? Very good. If you earn $1,000, the tithe is, there you go, pretty easy. Now, why 10%? Why 10%? I reckon it was because God knew 10% was enough to freak us out, but not enough to impoverish us. Most people, particularly people who are new to the faith, no, some people who are new to the faith, but most people in general, think 10%? You have got to be kidding. This is Australia. Like 10%, that's a lot. It's like, I would have to totally change my spending patterns and how I think about money to give 10%. You got it. I would have to totally rethink. No, wait, I'd have to totally change my whole life Because 10% of my earnings I'm giving away. Yes. Yes, you've got it. That's pretty much all you need to do. Think about it, people. If you had every dollar you could ever want, even the richest man in the world was once asked, you got a lot of money, how much more do you need? And he said, just a bit more. So don't be fooled into thinking there would be an amount of money that you'd ever be happy with. But let's just presume that you had such an extravagant amount of money in your life. You had everything you needed. You never wanted for anything. Every time you thought of anything, I think I'll drive a Rolls Royce today. Bing, there's the Rolls Royce, right? If you were in that place in your life, why would you even need God? That's what I think. Most people, if they had everything they ever wanted, why would they even need God? Why would they ever need to give out that desperation prayer? Lord, how do I pay my rent this week? Why would they give out the desperation prayer? God, help that family that wants to adopt that kid. You wouldn't do that, would you? You just go like that. And that's good as far as it goes. But the point of generosity is to put God first in our lives. To put God first in our lives. It's true. The Bible says that the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. God knew 10% was enough to freak us out, but he also knew that it wouldn't be enough to impoverish you. And in fact, Jesus went further because he made tithing. You know, some of you are sitting there going, well, you know, one day if I'm really good and I save my money and I get my budget right, maybe I can aspire up to this tithing thing. Jesus did not make the tithe the ceiling. He made it the floor. Tithing is the foundation of Christian generosity. What comes beyond tithing, you ask? Generosity. And that's the way God turns things upside down. And it hurts. It's a challenge. It really, really is. I can testify to that personally. But that's God. He turns things upside down. Jesus said, if you doubt me here, in Matthew 23, you ought to give a tenth. So for those people who say, oh, well, tithing is just an Old Testament principle, number one, last time I looked, the Old Testament was part of the Bible. Number two, Jesus said, you ought to give a tenth when responding to those people who thought that tithing was the bee's knees. But he says, don't forget about justice and peace and faith. And for any of you who have ever been involved in justice issues, that's going to cost you. It will cost you your time and your talent and your treasure. Because that's the way the world works. Jesus said, tithing is the floor. It's the beginning level. Beyond that, there is so much more to do. So, if you want to get better at giving, trust what God says. Just trust God. Two more quick thoughts to finish. Nearly done. Secondly is, plan your giving. Plan your giving. Most people I know plan their spending. Do you plan your spending? Most people plan their spending before they even earn it. Or is that just me? I don't know. People dream about the next overseas holiday, or, you know, they pore over online shopping sites and, you know, the old paper catalogue. That's so yesterday. You can get onto all these things and, you know, click buttons and it appears in a box on your doorstep quite magically. Or they're kind of like, you know, simples. Compare the market, right? People love that. That's why they put that there, because they know people love looking for the bargain and the best deal, which is good because that's being prudent with your money. But if that's where you dwell, it may be not so healthy for you. I started thinking this week, what if we had a little meerkat here saying, giving is simples. Huh? What if we put as much effort and thought and planning into our giving as we did to our spending? You don't like that? Okay, good. I thought that was pretty radical, actually. But I'm not going to preach that again. No, I will. What if we strategize to get the best bang for our donor buck? If giving is better than receiving, what if we did that? It's just a thought. Just a thought. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, generous people plan to do what is generous and they stand firm in their generosity. When they make a plan to give, they don't let anything get in the way of them being generous. They stand firm in it. They stand firm. That's what generous people do. But they make a plan. You know, giving is not meant to be occasional, spontaneous, or guilt-ridden. And that's why we exempt guests from giving in this place until people are convinced of the rightness of generosity. We don't want them to be giving and going away going, oh, there you go, they're always talking about money again. Give you some money. Can't buy coffee on the way home now. And you're feeling guilty about it. And so that's why we say that. But it's not meant to be occasional, spontaneous and guilt-ridden. God's hope is that your giving would be regular, thoughtful and joyful. That's what the scripture tells us. God wants us to plan our giving because it's a major part of why he gives you what you have. Giving is not the sidebar. It's not the little extra bit. Once you've got enough, then you can start to give. Giving is central to the way that God works through your life in all sorts of ways. It's how he grows your character. It's how he expands your worldview. It's how he changes and softens your heart to come into alignment with the things that break his. And because we live in the world we live in, with the training that we've had in Western democracies and all that sort of stuff, we rail against it because we think what's mine is mine. And that's not a kingdom thought. Here's a wise saying. Giving is something we do. Generous is who we are. Giving is an action. Generosity is a lifestyle. And until you understand that, you will not understand the heart of God for his people. Number three, start being generous. Just start being generous. You know, faith doesn't wait to get before giving. If you want to live by faith, and by the way, the Bible says, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. And if you want to be a faithful person, we don't wait to get before we give. We give on the basis of what has already been received. And that means we have to have a thankfulness mindset. We have to have a gratefulness mindset. We have to have a humility mindset. We have to have joy in our life and in our faith. And as we said at the beginning, one handful with tranquility trumps everything. We need to be in that place of tranquility where we know God is the supply of our need and he gives us what we have so that we can spread it around to do the work that he wants us to do. And we're not going to miss out. We're not going to miss out. But everything inside you screams, if you give it away, you lose it. That's just the way the world works. It's the way the world works. Start being generous. When we put generosity into action, we become more like Jesus and more like God, who loved us so much that he gave his only son. It's an old-fashioned scripture, but it's pretty appropriate today. You know, it says, John 3:16, those of you who may not know it, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say God just loved the religious people. It doesn't say God just loved those people that come to church maybe once a month or as often as they can. God doesn't just love the people who put money in the plate. Before we knew him, the scripture tells us that God loved the world. God so loved the world. Those people who don't like him, those people who hate him, those people who are trying to modernize what the scripture says about how we should live so that we can feel better about our politically correct selves, even those people, God loves. 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 God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing he had. For me, and for you. He gave his only son, that whoever, gets a crazy thought in their head and goes, that's amazing, I want to follow that kind of God. To everyone who says that, he gave eternal life, which is the ability to live life better now and has a future as well. That's the kind of God that we worship here. That's the kind of God that I serve. That's the kind of God that wants you to start thinking about how his economy works, to trust him, to plan your giving, not just your spending, and to just make a start. Just make a start and see what God will do. Let's bow our heads. God, help us gain understanding in this. Help us gain the understanding that giving is good. You have ordained it to be so. Help us to know that becoming generous is your desire for us. It's not just something that we might get to along the way, but it's a lifestyle that you desire for us. Lord, help us to know that your desire for us is to prosper and to be known by our love for others. Lord, we ask your help to learn to trust you with all our lives, including our wealth. We ask your help to plan our giving. And we ask your help to start being generous now, because you've already given us everything that we need. And we pray this earnestly and genuinely in Jesus' name. And God's people said, next week, tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters to God, and it ought to matter to the people of God. So come next week, bring a friend, fill the chairs that are around you, and let's dream together about what God might do in and through this little gathering of people in a great big world of need.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.